As the world of work changed in response to COVID-19, law firms had to adapt to the situation on a number of fronts, from the technological to the logistical, from managing staff well-being and communications to responding to client demands. High-profile law firm leaders from around the world came together to discuss the issues in an IBA webinar on crisis management. We begin by addressing the technology aspects. Shannon Selden of Debevoise & Plimpton in New York.
We added some technology in anticipation of having the firm work remotely, and we have extended remote access so that it is not just lawyers, but administrative staff and various other back office staff who support and are crucial to the work that we do, given the pretty dramatic shift from having everybody in the office seeing each other in person to having the whole firm working remotely and continuing to have our meetings internal and external remotely. I think the technology has held up remarkably well.
Rosario Zaccà of Gianni, Origoni, Grippo, Capelli and Partners in Milan.
But this has been a great opportunity to improve our IT resources and to come up with solutions that allow all our professionals and staff to work from home in a very productive way.
Stephen Revel of Freshfields in Hong Kong.
One of the challenges that this episode has shown up is there's a real lack of uniformity of the systems that talk to each other and that we can all use. One of the challenges is finding systems that work across the world with all clients. I think it's, again, something that we will learn lessons from as a result of this process.
Hanim Hamza of Zico Law in Singapore.
If you have not invested in technology, you need to invest in technology. Put money aside in technology because, you have to, the technology will bring people together. This is a good example of how we need technology in order to continue to function, to be good lawyers.
Maria Pia Hope of Vinga in Stockholm discussed heightened tech security risks.
There is indeed the case that we see increasing, in particular, phishing attempts. It's certainly the case that these are times when all sorts of powers are going to try to get into your system, and you have to have clear thinking both on in terms of data security and GDPR.
Maria Pia Hope of Vinga in Stockholm and Hua Su Chung of Kim and Chang in Seoul highlight the necessity for a clear and comprehensive internal communication strategy.
Communication is absolutely vital to communicate, for management to communicate at every twist and turn about what it is you're doing, what the situation is like, and also to find ways of actually keeping your people together.
We have a central control tower, basically. It's the COVID-19 task force that we set up very early in February when the cases first broke in Korea. It consists of senior partners in our firm, as well as members of our health practice, where I practice. So basically, on a weekly or more frequent basis, we will be communicating to professionals and non-professionals throughout the firm with news about measures that we're taking, tweakings in the measures for professional and non-professional staff. Constant communication addressing, and I'm talking about within the firm, addressing concerns, about sharing news and about sharing developments within the firm, that is more important than ever, and also that using communication to build trust, may sound trite now, but actually it's a time where the times require us to go back to the basics.
Shannon Selden, Hua Su Chung, and Maria Pia Hope emphasize the importance of focusing on employee well-being.
In all of this, I think the health and safety and well-being of our people and those in our communities is our top priority, but we have taken steps to ensure that people are able to work remotely and that we have continuity with respect to our client services.
It has been difficult. We know that morale can be an issue, but because of the communication from our task force, we're always constant communication on the phone. we're seeing ourselves communicating on the screen. So that helps somewhat. But I think we all just realize that we have to hunker down during this time, and it's difficult, but we know that we're all going to get through. It's going to be over at some point, and we're going to get over it.
One of the things we have done, in addition to make sure that all our groups have regular virtual meetings, coffee breaks, virtual coffee breaks is popular, is that we've also put out webcasts with information about what's going on in the firm. I think in this sort of situation, there are all sorts of rumors, thoughts, ideas, especially if you have somebody actually testing positive. And it's really important as management to be ahead of those and to instill hope and optimism, especially if actually you have a lot of work to do, but to actually make sure that your colleagues know what's going on. I think that's totally vital.
Handling increased client demands in certain areas at a challenging time requires a coordinated approach.
Many new matters and many new client questions as they're coming in, you know, with the markets as they are, that certainly caused a number of questions in our finance, capital markets, M&A practices. As clients are navigating both business issues, the continuity issues, the market issues, all of the many aspects of the coronavirus outbreak, there is the ongoing legal work for existing projects, investments, litigations, plus how to deal with that in this changing environment. And so I think we continue to be as busy as we were and then are integrating into that some meaningful uptick in incoming inquiries with respect to immediate impacts. We, like many firms, have set up a coronavirus resource center on our external facing website. So that is a place where we are putting not only our own work product and client memos and checklists and guidance for business practices, but also providing links to other resources that are of interest to clients. So that has been kind of the central repository of guidance from across the firm and truly across the firm, across all our offices, so that we're covering not just US-based issues, but those in the UK, in Europe, in Hong Kong, in Asia are all kind of centralized on that one website, which has been, I think, hugely effective. We also do targeted outreach where we have particular issues that are facing particular sets of clients, employment-related issues in the US, for example, continuity of arbitration proceedings in Hong Kong is another. In the course of our ordinary work, we're talking to our clients and checking in with them and making sure that they and their families are okay, that their firms are functioning as well as can be. So I think each of us as partners in the firm who talk to our clients on a daily basis, we continue to do that throughout this and remotely.
From the very beginning, we have set up a special group of lawyers dealing with these virus issues. We really immediately realized that clients wanted to receive newsletters, information, and they related to labor issues, corporate issues, litigation issues, and contractual issues and tax.
The kind of requests for advice that we've been getting are typically, as Rosaria said, employment, force majeure, privacy, because Korea has very strict privacy laws. But one unusual request that we got that ended up being the most satisfying in terms of result is goes to masks again. A U.S. client was worried that their Korean subsidiary, the staff at the Korean subsidiary, would not have masks to last them through the epidemic. So they shipped thousands of masks to Korea. Now, under Korean law, health masks are regulated as a quasi-pharmaceutical, and only companies that have the requisite business license can import them. And so the local subsidiary did not have the business license and didn't have the time to get it. So we basically went to the health authorities and we explained to them, we know what the hurdles are, but this is an extraordinary circumstance. These masks, yes, they number in the thousands, but they're going to be distributed free of charge exclusively to the staff at their local subsidiary. Please give us an exception. And the health authorities agreed. Interestingly, there were many more requests like that, actually. So our customs colleagues were quite busy. Subsequently, the authorities themselves came out and declared that all such shipments would be allowed as an exception. So that was a happy ending, but one of our more unexpected requests for advice.
But it's particularly a challenge, I think, to have a situation where, on the one hand, you have to work in a completely different environment to the one you're used to, and at the same time, deal with a lot of inquiries, a lot of which are completely new to you. So challenging times, but I think it is interesting. I think we lawyers are relatively flexible in the end of the day. We're used to things happening fast in projects, I suppose, and therefore I think in the end of the day we're relatively good at dealing with the situation.
We all need to use this time to talk to our clients and to listen to our clients, the challenges they're facing, and picking up on the caring point, showing we care about our clients and are there to help and support them, whilst, as we've discussed, maintaining the balance between awareness raising in terms of the information we're providing them, but also ensuring we're meeting their needs in a billable way, given that we need to keep all of our firms running, and that's an extremely important thing to do in these difficult times.
Shannon Selden considers some practical aspects of a new way of working.
I think there are some aspects of our practice that are necessarily affected, particularly by the social distancing requirements. That is, you know, we have a huge white-collar regulatory practice. That practice often does investigations that involve in-person interviews. Obviously, that's not something that we could do right now, but we have technology and the remote capacity to do those by phone and by teleconference. So in some areas, I think there will be an adjustment to the way that we practice because of the social distancing. I think that's affecting ongoing or scheduled trials, depositions, hearings, things that ordinarily would involve, you know, a large group of people in one place, whether that's a courtroom or a conference room, are necessarily being adjusted. And to the extent we can, and that's within our control or the control of other lawyers with whom we're dealing, I think we have the technology to do a lot of that by video conference and teleconference. But, you know, it's trickier when you need a court reporter and you need a judge and you've got people in different jurisdictions.
Maria Pia Hope and Rosario Zaka consider the implications of the crisis for the future of law firms.
We are, of course, monitoring developments very closely. We're looking at the potential impact in the long run on revenue, what we can do in terms of potentially reducing cost should it come to that point in time where we feel that that's necessary. We are thinking about how we should be recruiting for the longer term.
Let me say that this crisis will change, in my view, the mind of many companies and also law firms. So I do expect to see more focusing after the crisis on charities, on building again a new and strongest country, and on the aspects related to the quality of life of our employees,